Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
This is Stairway to Heaven on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. I'm Evangelist Patricia Smith. This is Women on a Mission in Spirit and Truth. Joining me is Evangelist Terry Ellison and Evangelist Doris Jones. Just remember, the Redeemer lives, 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 lives.
Hey, this is Stairway to Heaven. I'm Evangelist Patricia Smith. And today, here with me are the women from the community, Women on a Mission, Evangelist Terry Ellison, and Minister Doris Jones. And our topic today is a little bit of a Black History moment. Come join us. Today, we're going to do it in a three-part series. Our three-part series are, we're going to start out with the 1800s to the 1900s, for those that paved the way, for those that struggled, went through things, and got us to where we are today. The second series we're going to go through is through the community in Columbus, Ohio, the city of Columbus. Those that paved the way for that, have helped people, have encouraged people for the city of Columbus. And the second one is going to be, we're going to talk about ourselves. We're going to talk about the fact that we are all over 65. We have been through the struggles of the civil rights movement, and we're going to talk about that, about our family members. So come and join us. Now, the music that we're going to play today is not going to be gospel. The music that we're going to play reflects on the things that we did during the 60s and the 50s and the civil rights movement. So our songs are not going to be considered gospel songs, but they are songs that gave people encouragement, gave them hope, gave them a way to go and to understand what we're going through, the challenges that we went through. So come and join us. Call us at 1-877-932-9766, and we'll be right back with you after we hear this song from the Impressions, Choices, Colors. So come and join us. Call us at 1-877-932-9766 and join us here with the women on the community on a mission in spirit and truth. And so we got, like I said, we're going to do three different segments, the 1800s to the 1900s. We're going to do the people in the community of Columbus, city of the Columbus, Ohio, and then we're going to talk about ourselves. We have been through a lot of things over the years. We're all, like I did say before, we're all over 65, and we've been through a lot of things during the civil rights era. So there's some things that we want to touch down with you and kind of bring up some people that you may not know. But also, I just want to say a little bit, the things that are going on in our world today is kind of heartbreaking, because these people that we're going to talk about today have struggled. They have pushed through. They have paved the way for us. And sometimes I think the generation today don't understand the things that we went through. So we're going to kind of bring that up a little bit today and come and join with us and be with us in this conversation. This is a song by the Impressions, The Choice of Color, Your Choice of Color. I know some of you will remember this song.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People,
must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation, would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you held your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin?
I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation,
all right. I know some of you out there kind of remember
you
that
had a choice.
And that was by the Impressions. We have a choice of colors. And those are the songs, like I said, that's going to be playing today. Going to bring you back some memories if you remember those songs. And those that don't even know those songs, these are the songs that we had to listen to that kept us going and kept us to be strong and to know who we are as black people. And we're going to start off, like I said, we're going to have three segments. We're going to talk about those from the 1800s to the 1900s. And then we're going to go into the people in the community of Columbus, the city of Columbus, the impact they made. And then we're going to go for our own personal things and things that we have done and things we've been through during the civil rights time and some of our family members and things that they've been through. So I'm going to start off with the 1800s to the 1900s. And then we're going to go all around for each one of us, the women here at the panel, the women on a mission in spirit and truth. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about Nat Turner. Nat Turner was in 1830. He was an activist in helping the slaves. Now, they say Nat Turner was a radical, but of course they're going to say that because Nat Turner said he wasn't taking it no more, and he wanted to do what he had to do to help each and every one of his fellow man, which I don't understand today why our young people are killing each other, because these people that did this back in those times, they struggled. They went through to make us have a be free, and yet today our young people are killing each other. I just don't perceive that. Also, of course, everybody know Miss Rosa Parks. Rosa Parks was in, she has helped with the civil rights on the Negroes in 1955, where she refused. She was a strong black woman, and she refused to give up her seat for a white man. She was tired. She went to work. She was getting off from work, and she wanted to go home, and they told her she needed to go in the back. She's another pioneer who struggled, who pushed through. Come on, young people today, push through. Do what you got to do to continue and keep these legacies going. And also, of course, Martin Luther King. Everybody know the struggles that he made and the things that he done in our society today. That he, civil rights leader. So how he continued to do the things, and we're still to celebrate him today. We celebrate him today. So we got to remember, and I'm trying to get the generation today to understand the fight and the struggles that we went through.
I'm going to talk about Harriet Tubman, how strong woman that she was, how she fought through thick and thin, how she pushed people to move in the movement with her to stop the racism. The killings that they were doing to the people, the colored people in that time. She even tried to get her two brothers to come across the water to go, but they refused to come. But I got to give it how strong she was. She was hit in her head, beat up. She had to walk through water, all kind of things that she did to be in order to free some of the slaves. So I take my hat off to her. I give her a lot of the honor and praise that she needs for a woman going through the battlefield like she did back in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Next. Who's next?
Me? Yeah. My young lady to talk about is Miss Sarah Rector. She was one of the richest black girls in the world, and it's a shame we barely know Miss Rector. But Miss Rector was a woman, was a young girl who, back in slavery, when they were giving the slaves land, well, back then, they gave her the worst, her and her family, the worst land that they had. It was rocky and terrible. They lived out there in Oklahoma, like almost toward like desert-like land. But what happened, her and her sister, they kept trying to dig and, you know, and stuff, and kept trying to farm the land. Well, something happened. And guess what happened? They started seeing this black stuff, and it was oil. And oh my goodness, their father, they went and they told people, they came to help them, and oil just came out. Miss Rector, she was richer than Oprah. She was richer than all these football players. She was worth billions, not millions. She was worth billions back then. She married and she had some children. And in her city, she built restaurants and bakeries and just everything. And guess what? No one ever knew. And she was a beautiful woman. My next lady is Miss Lady Sarah Forbes Bonet. She was born back in 1848. Her whole family was massacred. They were all killed, and so she was an orphan, and she was living with this rich slave owner. And so the Queen Victoria, she came to America, and she seen Lady Sarah, and so she asked the plantation owner, "Oh, who is that?" And so he told her. So then she said, "I want her." He said, "Oh, okay. No problem." He said, did you want to take her with you, or do you want me to send her to you?" And so she took her with her. And so the Queen Victoria, she taught her. She sent her to school. She just fell in love with Lady Sarah. And so then what she did is she loved her so much, she left her whole fortune, everything, when she died, and made sure that they didn't take it away from her. They left her castle. She gave it all to Sarah. And Sarah, she made her in her will that she was her goddaughter. And she was a celebrity known for her intelligence. Isn't that wonderful? Mm-hmm. What God, yes, God will do for,
yes,
us.
Yes.
And then my other lady, her name was Miss Esther Jones. Miss Esther Jones, we all know her as Betty Boop. She was a beautiful black woman. And so this one lady seen her and heard her and loved her voice and loved her style and loved everything about Betty. And most people think that Betty Boop was white. Miss Betty Boop, she was a beautiful black woman, had a beautiful voice. They had never heard anything like Miss Betty Boop. And so they took her, all her stuff from her. She died taking them to court right after she won her everything, you know, from them stealing her music and her style. Guess what? She passed away. So that's our little sub on Betty Boop.
All right. And there's another woman. There's another woman maybe you guys might not know about. Her name is Maggie Lena Walker. And she was the first black woman to be president of a bank. We talk about in the 1900s. This is what I don't understand what's going on with us today. But anyway, then there was another lady. Her name was Rosetta Tharpe. Now, she was a gospel guitar player. I mean, this woman played the guitar. I went online and looked her up. She played the guitar like a man. I mean, she was awesome. She had people like Elvis Presley and some of the guitar players today, she taught them how to play the guitar. She was an evangelist, and she did this between 1930 and 1940. She made a lot of people famous behind listening to how she played the guitar. And then there's Sally Hennings, and she was a slave. Sally Hennings was a slave of the President Jefferson, okay? As being a slave, she bore children for our president, President Jefferson. Look it up. It's on YouTube. I was like, okay. And how they got the proven of that, in 1998, she did have children, and they did a DNA specimen of that. And that's how they found out that she had bore children for Thomas Jefferson. So we talk about a lot of our people back in the time, the things that they'd done, and how they struggled and pushed through. There's so many more we can talk about, but we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna spread the show in three different segments. But there's so many that have gave and struggled and fought through everything, but yet today, why are we going through what we're going through? We just don't understand it. So right now, we're getting ready to have a song, and we're gonna have a song by our next group. Okay. Keep talking. Okay. Okay. So anyway, like we were saying, the main thing that I think that what reason why we want to do this today is to let our new this generation know that stop fighting each other. There's so much out there that people have accomplished and have done in America, and we're just wasting it. We're letting it be wasted. We're killing each other, hurting each other. We need to come together. And understand who we are and be proud of who we are and be proud of what our ancestors have done. They have done so much to get us to where we're at today. A lot of people may say, I know this generation say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't been through nothing. Oh, but your ancestors have, your grandmothers have. And now you know James Brown, like, this is James Brown singing, sing it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. And we need to keep that. I know some of you remember that song, James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And I think that's what we got to remember that. We got to kind of maybe keep that song in our mind or in our spirit to know that who we are black people. We are beautiful people. And God have us here for a purpose and a reason, and we need to carry on that purpose and that reason. What we're going to talk about next in our next segment, we're going to talk about people in the community, people in the city of Columbus, and the impact they have made here in Columbus that I have came across. The ladies are going to talk about the ones that they came across, the people that is in Columbus, in the community. I want to talk about, there was a lady that I found out, her name is Miss Mary. And Miss Mary was an older lady, and she would had a little stand that's set up in the south side of Columbus. And what she would do is when the homeless come around, she'd make a great big pot of soup and crackers. And when they walked down the street, she would just say, come on, here's something to eat. That's an impact. She helped those people. We all know that there's a lot of homeless here in Columbus. And I was riding yesterday, and when I walked past this place, and I asked my husband, I said, what are all those people? He said, they're all homeless. I said, my Lord. But anyway, she did that. She's not doing it now. They told me that she was sick. But that's what she did for many, many years right here in Columbus, on the south side of Columbus. So we take our hats off to her. Also, I know a lot of you haven't heard of Ted Williams. Ted Williams was a homeless man himself. Everybody heard about him. I met him personally and talked to him, and I just was excited about the different things that he has done and what he have came from, and also him helping to feed the homeless. He would have a little stand out there in front of the store, and he would buy them, get them food. He'd buy them socks because he said he didn't want to see nobody's feet cold, because he remember when he was out, the main thing, his feet got cold when he was out there. But people like that, we need to say, we take our hat and something. We say thank you for the things that you have done here in the city of Columbus. Columbus got so many. Also, I'd like to talk about someone here in Columbus. Also, his name is Fioris West. Now, Fioris West is related to me a little bit, okay? My daughter is married to his son. Now, Fioris West is a native here of Columbus. He's been in Columbus for a while. But let me tell you a little bit about Fioris West. Okay, Fioris West was born in 1950 in Albany, New York. He studied in Pennsylvania at the Academy of the Fine Arts. He earned a Master's of Fine Arts degree at Yale University. West's areas of expertise are painting and drawing, computer graphics, and design. His art has been shown in various displays since 1970. Examples of his work are held in the collections of the studio in the museum in Harlem, New York, and also in Italy, and the Contemporary Art Center in Cincinnati. He took part in the National Touring Exposition, Conserve a Legacy, American Art from the Historical Black Colleges and University. He was a curator for the 1999 Tower Gallery at Fort Hays, highlights the strength and energy of his body work. Okay, I think I have some paintings that I would like to show you, some paintings. The importance of his strong moral society with culture traditions. Africa is the source for classic art traditions, and African-American cultures inspired his imagery. He symbolized a universal message through use of traditional tales and religion, and his most common subject is the black woman. He painted a paint of Mother Earth for the gallery. And also, he also painted a picture representing Eve in the garden, and the picture is beautiful. But I think we got some pictures that we're going to show you a little bit. And you can, if you would like to order a picture, or if you would like to see the pictures, I have a number that you can reach him. And he's still here, and he's still here in the city of Columbus. And if you want to get any original paintings that he do, you can call this number at 614-783-9478. 1-800-480 and ask for Fiona West. And she can show you the pictures. She'll let you know about the paintings and the pictures. And you can contact and talk with him, too, also. Okay, I'm done with mine.
I have a cousin named Habiba Carmen. She was one of the black women that was a model for the back in the 50s mm-hmm. and the early 60s. She modeled for a modeling and won contests around the state of Ohio. Then her father built the first airplane in Columbus, Ohio, as a black man. It hangs now over at the museum to the airplane that he had built. So there's a lot of things that people in the black community has done. A lot of people don't know about it. Nobody says anything about it. So there's some things that we all need to do research on to find out what the black people have done in the communities, like the stop sign. The black men have built that. They give no recognition to the people of color in the community of some of the things that they have really done to make not just the black community, but make the white community too empower and things that they can use to make their community a better community.
And so many so many black people have did so many courageous things,
yes.
You know, stuff here in Columbus, just like our black mayor, they elected him for so many terms. And so, you know, he was an instrument in really bringing this city together. And a lot of people didn't even know that a black mayor was over Columbus, Ohio. So guess what? We know how important black people are. All right.
Absolutely. And also there's another company here. I didn't know that there was a black company in here, Columbus. It's a construction company. It's called Smoot Construction. And I found out that they are contractors. And what they do, they have built a lot of those buildings down at the Ohio State Universities. And I didn't know they were black. So I looked it up, and I was like, wow, okay. See, a lot of things that people don't know. I didn't know. I've only been here in Columbus about 12 years now, but I'm learning a lot, and I know as time go on, as long as I'm here, I'm going to learn more about our culture and the different things. I know there's so many black people that have contributed in the community, that's doing well in the community, that is helping in the community, and we have to back them up. We have to stick with them. When they have rallies and things on changing things in the community, this guns that's circling around our communities, we got to stick with that and continue to help those that don't know and to be there for them, because it takes a village. You can't, one or two people can't do it. We all got to come in together. So we thank God that we have men like, you know, our mayor, that Coleman, who did his job for all those years, and different congresswomen and different people. So at this time, we're going to have a song by The Impressions. And so the next time, when we come back after the song we come back, we're going to give you a little bit of insight on what we have done in the community and what we're doing now in the community, because it takes a village to get things done. You don't take one or two people. It takes a whole village to do things within the community. So we are going to have a song by Curtis Mayfield.
Keep talking.
Say that. So we're going to have a song pretty soon by Curtis Mayfield saying, we're a winner. Because you are a winner. We are winners. We got to stop putting our heads down and not thinking that we're not. But we are winners. So we got to continue to go that way.
And never let anybody say, well, you can't make it. Cause a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry. And we have finally dried our eyes. And we're moving on up. Moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up. Moving on up. We're living proof and all's alert that we're too from the good black man. And we're a winner.
Okay, that is I'm a winner. We're a winner. By Curtis Mayfield. You know what? I was listening to Curtis Mayfield the other day, and I was saying that Curtis, he was prophetic. He said a lot of things in his songs. Now, he had some songs that weren't too good, but the majority of them, he was prophetic of the things that he was saying to the people. And it helped us to continue to think. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about our struggles and things we went through during the civil rights time. So we'll be right back with you in a minute.
Amina Brendalyn Robinson shared her creative energy with the people of Columbus and the Mount Vernon neighborhood.
Now, the Greater Columbus Arts Council hopes her creative spirit will inspire future generations of Black artists. The two new programs are open to Black and visual artists are the Amina Robinson Fellowship for local artists and the Amina Robinson Residency for national artists. More information about both programs is available at gcac.org or call 614-224-2606.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% Black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
At Talk
entertainmentradio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at talktainmentradio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. Talktainmentradio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
I'm feeling good now.
Hello, this is Stairway to Heaven, and I'm Evangelist Patricia Smith, and here with me are the women from the community on a mission in spirit and in truth. And today we're talking about a Black History moment. We have covered people in the 1800s to the 1900s, how they have impacted us over the years and how they're still impacting us today. And we're going on with three different parts of this series. We talked about those in the community, how they have impacted us here in the city of Columbus, and that they're still impacting us today. So thank you for joining us. Now we're going to go into how we are women. We all of us are over 65. So we have done, been through the crisis of the civil rights movement. Oh my goodness, there's so much I could tell you. I don't have enough time, but I'm gonna try to touch down on a little bit of the things. I can tell you a little bit about some of my family members. I had an uncle back in the 1930s who really invented the carburetor for the car. And what happened was he never went to school. He didn't have an education, but he knew he was a mechanic, and he knew how to use his hands. So when he used his hands, he figured something out. And so when he did it, somehow a white man had came about and found out about him and asked him, said, well, hey, I know what to do with this. I know what this is all about. So what he did was he gave my uncle lots of money. I'm talking about lots of money. So my uncle moved out of the city and moved to California, took his 10 children. He had 10 children. Took those 10 children, moved to California, bought a beautiful home, put all his kids through college for years. So he did get something out of it. But that was his contribution as a Black man in my hometown community. Also, too, I want to talk about I had a mother-in-law who in my community back home, this is a little small town where she started a Black school for Black women, teaching them how to do Black hair. And she taught the school. A lot of women have graduated from that school with their license as cosmetologists. And now today, the grandkids that she had, they are still doing that kind of work. But you know, they do it different today. They got all this different stuff now today. But she actually was the one that taught Black women, because they had schools for the white women, but they never had one for the Black. But she struggled, and she made it through, and she made sure that the Black women were able to teach how to do our hair, too. Also, I have uncles. I had an uncle who started the first Black union in Gary, Indiana. Now, you know, Gary, Indiana at one time was a very striving city. And, you know, they had the steel mill down there. Well, my uncles, they were something. They said, oh, we need to get us a union together for the Black folk, because yeah, they had theirs. But he said, we need to get ours together. So he and my other uncles started that union, and that union lasted forever until they closed it down, the mills. But he struggled. He went through all kind of ups and downs and People threaten his life, threaten his family's life. And he should tell us about the things he had to do. He had to carry a gun at that time back then. He had to carry a gun in order to get through things because they didn't want him to do that. But he struck through it, and he went through it, and he got through it, and they had a union. I want to tell you a little bit about me here in Columbus. When I first came to Columbus, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew I wanted to help women in prison. So I got involved with a woman here in prison, and she in Columbus, and she had a home called the New Beginnings Transitional House for Women. And I used to go out to Marysville, and I would interview the women in prison and in Dayton. And when I was out there, I would listen to the women, and the thing that really got to me was listening to these women that were in prison. Seemed like they all was in prison behind a man. But we know, okay? But anyway, they were in prison, and they were getting ready to come out. So what we would do, we would go and sit and talk with them. I would talk with them one-on-one, face-to-face, and interview them, because what they didn't want to do and what we felt they shouldn't do is to go back to where they came from, because that's how they was going to end up going back into the drugs or whatever lifestyle they were doing. So if they came to Columbus, we set them up in an apartment. We set them up in a room. We helped them to get their driver's license and their different things that they needed to be a good person in society again. So there was a lot of things that I have done here in Columbus. I love going to the nursing homes. I like to sit and talk to the women in the nursing homes now, because older people to me, I think, is phenomenal. I'm there, I guess. But anyway, older people are phenomenal because they tell you some stories that has happened to them. I had an aunt who was a slave, and we used to go to her house. And when you walked in the house, it looked like she was still in that era, because when you walked in the house, she had this great big old trunk full of all kind of stuff in the trunk. There was linen, there was glass, there was silverware, there was everything in this trunk. And she had lifted up the sheets and all that, and the sheets just tore like in shred papers. But she wore that big old black dress with a big old white apron with a white band around her head. And she would tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened to her as a little girl. But I remember that. I can also remember when I was young, I must have been about 8 or 9 years old, and we would go down south. My father was from down south, and we would go to my grandfather's farm, and we picked cotton. And I didn't think nothing of it because I was only 9 years old. I didn't think nothing of it today, but we thank God for Eli Whitney, who invented the cotton gin, and now we didn't have to do that. But these are things that went on in our lives, and we have been touched by racism, calling us names and doing things like that. I remember that, but this generation don't remember that. But I'm not mad. I'm just saying these are things that we went through, and we got over them. And the same thing that's going on today, the things that you might be going through, you can get over them. Just keep on living, and just keep on living, and ask God to help you through that. People Get Ready by Curtis Mayfield. We'll be right back in a minute.
You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealer's honking. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. So people get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and boom, there's hope for all among us love the most. The hopeless sinner.
chances grow thinner, for there's no hiding place against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Thank you, thank you. That was the impression. That was Curtis Mayfield. We're a winner.
I have stories to tell about my family. Most of the other male in my family were military. But I want to tell the story about my father first. He was one of the first black men to go into General Motors in 1946. He worked there for 37 years that my father gave to General Motors. At that time, when he went into General Motors, the pay wasn't a whole lot then, but it was better than the other places that he had worked at. He came out of the war. He was in the war, the Second War, World War II. He was with service. I also have a lot of his equipment, like his sunglasses, his binoculars. But then after he left General Motors, he did some community work in the community, going around helping other people that couldn't were disabled. He would go and take them different places that they needed to go. So then I have an uncle, Adam Ellison, that was my father's brother. He was in military. Then he came out in the 50s, was boxing for the Pat's Blue Ribbon Beer place. And so then, his picture now hangs over in Beatty Center. Then I mentioned earlier about a cousin that was my father's cousin, but he built an airplane in the 40s. And he was from a long list of families too that were doing different community work, and they had on Grant Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. So they had rooming house. So they were having different people to come to stay in the rooming house. So there's a lot of things that each family has, something that someone has done good for the community, that has done good to help other people, not just in the community, of creating things, building things. I can go back as a kid from Long Street and Mount Vernon, the places that they have, cooking places, little stores, vegetable stores, and beauty shops. I started my first beauty shop over on Long and Washington, the Fashionetta. That's where I got my apprenticeship from. Then I was able to move at 21 years old to open up my own beauty shop called Mary Hall's on Miller and Oak. So there's a lot of beauticians that came up from doing hair, from out of the kitchen over to Long Street, out of the kitchen over to Mount Vernon. So there's, like I said, there's a lot of history here in Columbus, Ohio. There were like a lot of bars. They were history in making money, taking care of their families. So there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't really realize, that the things that Columbus, Ohio, that there was for, that they had here. Restaurants. There was the food bar, the novelty food bar. There was can't call the name of the place now, where they fried fish, pork chops. After people left the party in the bars, they went to this bar where they could stay, and they stayed open 24 hours. So there's other things that I may not saying about it right now, but there is history from Long Street to Mount Vernon to Washington to Cleveland Avenue in Columbus, Ohio. There's history here. Only if we have to research, find out, or some of the older people will tell it to the youth that certain things was here at this time of our lives and things like that. Eddie Saunders was a good history. He played on Sundays. Mm-hmm. You can listen to his music, church music, his preaching. There was a lot of churches here. There was the skating ring that was here too. All the kids when we were kids would go to the skating ring skating. You know, so right. It's history. That's all I can keep saying, because there's a lot of things I may not be mentioning right now. but there is history in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay.
I want to tell about my grandmother. My grandmother, she was born on a plantation down south in Kentucky. And as a little girl, they sold her from her mother when she was very little. Well, they sold her from state to another state. And so she really did never know who her mother was. She didn't know who her siblings was. Because, you know, back in slavery times, back then, they wasn't keeping really good records of who you were or where your family was. And so she was sold again, down in Arkansas. And so my grandfather was telling us that he seen her, you know, in the fields. And he seen her and he just took to her. And he said, you know, he just fell in love with her. And so he went to ask the plantation owner how much would she cost. And he said, $100. Well, back then, $100 was like $1,000 or more, equal to today. And so, but he worked. He had a little restaurant down in the where the black people lived, and he had a restaurant. And so he worked and got the money up and bought her. He said, well, he didn't know her birthday. And so he gave her birthday a Valentine's Day. And so we celebrated her birthday. We still have her original slave papers that, you know, he bought her for the $100. And for me, people say, oh, slavery was a long time ago. No, it was not. My grandmother, she was a slave. My mother picked cotton as a little girl. Mm-hmm. And so we think that slavery was so long ago. Oh, y'all tripping on this and tripping on that. No, we're not. We know that stuff existed.
Yes.
But out of that came a lot of good things, mm-hmm. and a lot of bad things, mm-hmm. you know. And so with that, I want to talk about one more person,
mm-hmm.
Vivian Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Vivian Thomas, he was born down in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
His grandfather was a slave, and his father was. And so Vivian Thomas was a pioneer cardiac surgeon. And guess what? He was so smart. He did all that with no medical degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we say today, we are such a brilliant people. We are so brilliant.
We
can do so many things. Mm-hmm. And then they were paying him like little janitorial wages. And he was working in a lab. And that's how he learned to do a lot of things. And so Vivian, you know, he continued to move forward. He met another young man, his name was Burlock, and they both helped each other because he seen how smart that Vivian was. And Vivian did so much great work. He had to, but they didn't pay him what he was worth. And that is something phenomenal,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we as black people, we are just so talented. By him just being around, cleaning up behind in a lab, he learned all this.
Right,
but in the end, he did get his recognition, but through ridicule, racism, and all of that, nothing stopped Vivian Thomas.
Right.
From being one of the best cardiac surgeons. He did so much, and he was a pioneer in that field. So, you know, I just wanted to touch on Vivian because he really, really impressed me when I was doing my research.
That's it. And you know, you're absolutely right. We have contributed so much as the black people in America. Thurgood Marshall, I mean, I could just name so many of them. Like I said, Rosa Parks, all of them, they have done so much. And my heart goes out today for the generation today that's taking everything so lightly by killing each other. I don't understand that. But we have to continue to fight on. I remember when my daughter was in high school and they had just made Martin Luther King a national holiday. Now, the neighborhood I came from was a predominantly white neighborhood. In that school system, there was only five black families, and my children was one of them that was graduated from that school. So when they made that day official, they did not want to close that day up. So here, my daughter come home, she said, Mom, I got to go to school tomorrow. I said, what do you mean? No, tomorrow's a holiday. I said, what? So I went up to the school. I said, I don't understand. It's a national holiday. I got together and got all the black people that was in that area. They called me Angela Davis because I was radical back in them times. And I got them to talk about, no, you got to close the school. It's a national holiday. So that's what happened. I got there. I got on a radio station. I talked to everybody on the radio station. The parents came up, and they closed that day. So we have to, so you have to struggle. You have to push through it all. So I want to thank you for joining us today on our Black History Moment. There's so much. If we had enough time to really tell you everything, it's amazing. But what I want to say is for us to lift up this generation and let them know that we got to continue to fight, continue to push. Don't let it go. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you. This is
so we will never part. Well, if your Holy Spirit show me the way, will you be my shelter on a stormy day? Under your wings with your saving grace, oh, cover me, cover me, oh, my Lord, create in me. Thank you.